I will introduce myself again, even though I was just up here. So if I haven't met you yet, my name is Liz and I am the youth minister here. It is such a pleasure to be able to be together today, and what a beautiful day it has been. So before I start, let me pray. Father, thank you that we can come together today to read and learn from Acts and Peter's vision. Please open our ears and our hearts to hear your word. Holy Spirit, please speak through me to the congregation tonight and enable me to honour your word. Amen. So I wonder, have you ever had an accomplishment that you wanted to share, but when you shared it, it wasn't received well? Or maybe you've accomplished something and you've not wanted to share it because you were afraid of the response that you were going to get. It could be that you got engaged and you have many friends who are celebrating this news. And then there are some who will question you. Are you sure? You're so young. Or it could be that you passed that exam that you had been dreading and everyone was celebrating, but one person responded by saying, "What did you get? I got a 95. It happens more and more that our accomplishments are not being celebrated, but instead, there is always something to pick at. Throughout this passage, we see that God was powerfully at work through Peter and those around him. But others were so distracted by how they thought God should act that they missed his grace. In Acts 10, we have Peter's vision and then the story of how the gospel spreads. In Acts 11, we have a little bit of deja vu happening. If you've watched our online series for the past 2 weeks, you would have heard Mark and David speaking about Cornelius and Peter. Focusing on Mark's sermon, Mark highlighted the fact that there were two religious revolutions that took place in the beginning of chapter 10. The first was that Cornelius was wanting to serve God more. He was committed to faith, but he wanted more. He needed the good news of Jesus. Doing good was not enough. The second religious revolution that Mark pointed out for us was that law keeping was not enough. This focused on the story involving Peter. Peter was someone who holds to all of God's laws set out by the Jews, especially when it came to food. Mark pointed out to us that excluding people because of their diets or their patterns of life was not in God's enduring plan. So Acts 11 starts by the explanation of Peter's vision and then how the gospel spreads. So let's have a look at the text. Verses 1 to 3, Peter is called to account. The apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." From the previous chapter, we see that Peter is now convinced that the gospel should reach both the Jews and the Gentiles. However, he is called to account for speaking and eating with the uncircumcised and unclean. Those that heard about what had happened focused on the fact that Peter had been with the unclean, not that the Gentiles had received the word of God and become Christian. Verses 4 to 17, Peter goes on to explain his vision. He started at the beginning and said that he was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance he saw a vision, something like a large sheet coming down from heaven. He looked into it and found the four-footed animals of the earth. And then he heard a voice telling him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." At the beginning of this chapter, Peter was in trouble. The circumcised believers criticized him, but he doesn't address that accusation directly. Instead, he goes on to explain God's direction, bringing to their attention that the real issue isn't that he was eating with the unclean, but instead God's acceptance of the Gentiles. Peter replied, saying, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." God then responded, saying, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then the sheet was pulled up into heaven. After this, three men arrived and wanted to take Peter. The Spirit told Peter, "Go, have no hesitation." So Peter went with them. He entered the man's house. Peter heard of the story of how the angel came to Cornelius, telling him to find Peter, and he will bring the message so that Cornelius and his household would be saved. I want to highlight two things here. Firstly, the verse stating that this happened three times. Peter's history, if you know any of it, shows us that he was always resistant to Jesus and his instructions. So the repetition of this three times is significant. Jesus restored Peter three times. He said, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter responded, "Yes." That happened three times because Peter denied Jesus three times. This vision of God telling Peter to kill and eat happened, and Peter responded the first two times saying, "No way." And then on the third time, he finally realized. This situation reminds me of the story of Jonah. I wonder if you can see the resemblance. He didn't want to follow God's plan, so he went in the other direction, only to be called by God and eventually complete the task he was called to do. The second statement that I wanted to highlight is God's command to have no hesitation. Interestingly, in this version of events, he fails to mention that he did have hesitation. In chapter 10, verse 21, he says, "Yeah, you're looking for me, but who are you?" I wouldn't blame him. If someone came looking for me, I would want to know who they are. Peter is relatable to us, isn't he? The repetition of this story shows its importance. This is Peter's account of convicting the circumcised believers that the heart of the issue is that there is no unclean people, and God's acceptance of all people, circumcised or uncircumcised. Peter then continues on in the story, saying, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us in the beginning." Referring to the day of Pentecost, Peter then remembered the word of the Lord, which we read in Acts 1:5. "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The comparison is to Pentecost, and he continued to draw on this comparison in verses 16. Jesus' prediction of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is fulfilled for the apostles at Pentecost. For Cornelius and his fellow Gentiles, it was filled with the coming of the Spirit at Cornelius' house. And certainly for Peter, it was a Gentile Pentecost. There is three lines of evidence here. Peter is bringing forward these three lines to defend himself from the critics. Firstly, it's the vision from God that we find in verses 5 to 11. It was a directive from God. Secondly, the witness of the Holy Spirit. It came upon these unclean Gentiles, as we see in verses 15. Thirdly and finally, in verse 16, the witness to the word. Peter remembered what Jesus had said. So, Jesus predicted it, the Holy Spirit gave witness to it, and Peter experienced it. And then we have this statement in verse 17. If God gave them the same gift that he gave us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? It's a little gold nugget in the riverbed. It's the mic drop moment. Peter, throughout this passage, has said no to God, which we see in verse 8, and then he was rebuked by God in verses 9 and 10. As we see in the chapter 10 version, he even told Cornelius and his household that it was wrong for him to even be in the house. But verse 17 shows Peter's obedience to God and his understanding of the vision and the situation. And then we have verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent, and then they praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This final verse really brings home the passage. Who was Peter to deny God's acceptance of Cornelius and his household? The acceptance of the Gentiles into the family of God was a big thing for the Jews to acknowledge. This story brings us back to the commissioning that we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Peter was being a witness as he was commissioned to do so. But in this case, he was being a witness to the people of God in Caesarea, people who were not considered by the apostles or the circumcised even to be reached. I wonder if there are moments in your life that haven't worked out the way that you have wanted them. But upon reflection, it was clear that nothing was going to stop God working in that moment. Just like Peter, there have been times in my life when something exciting has happened, and I've shared it only to be questioned or challenged. But it hasn't stopped me. I want to give you a recent example of this. I have been the youth minister here at St. Alfred's for the last 4 months. When I found out that I was successful for the role, I was excited. My close friends and some of my family shared in that excitement. But there was one person in my family who is not a Christian, who turned around when she found out and said, "Well, how are you going to be able to live on that income?" She didn't even know what I was going to be earning. I hadn't even had that conversation with her. All I had said to her was, "I got a new job within my church as the youth minister." My response to her should have been, "God gave me this gift. Who am I to think that I can stand in his way?" But instead, I politely told her that I would be able to manage, although I appreciated her concerns, I had that under control. It was a valid concern and something that I had thought about and estimated what I needed to earn to be able to live and save money. but I had already ignored God's call once. He called me to apply for this role, and I ignored it. It was the second time that God came knocking on my door that I actually answered. I looked at the role, and I applied. It was all in God's timing and control. Who was I to reject or stand in the way of God? Granted, this example isn't as exciting as Peter spreading the gospel to the Gentiles, but we have moments of excitement that we want to share with our friends and family. And they come back and they challenge us. And it can be hard to receive. But that big mic drop moment in verse 17, that's what we need to remember. We cannot stand in God's way. It didn't matter what accusations were being thrown at Peter from the other apostles or the circumcised believers. He knew that he could not stand in God's way. I wonder if this story reminds you of anything that Jesus did. There are so many stories that we can look at in the New Testament of Jesus defying the laws and reaching out to the marginalized. The healing of the unclean woman, healing on the Sabbath, casting out demons, the list goes on and on and on. But the point would be that nothing was going to stop him from performing those miracles. God had a plan to reach all of his people. Yes, Jesus was criticized a lot, but he didn't hesitate to continue. John 3:16 tells us of God's plan. He sent his son into the world so that anyone, Jew or Gentile, who believed in him was granted access to eternal life. Peter's role in this story was to continue to share the good news, just as he was commissioned to do so, but also to trust in God's sovereignty in the moment. Therefore, tonight we have a two-part application. Firstly, we are to be like Peter, spreading the good news about Jesus to all that will hear it. We can, we will, and we should allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us in moments, guiding us to speak in truth and love, whether that's in our schools, our universities, our workplaces, or our sporting groups. Secondly, we must trust God's call and not stand in his way, as verse 17 reminds us. Whether that's trusting a call for the mission field in Africa, Asia, or Australia, his calling to a ministry position, or as simple as his prompting to talk to a friend and invite them to church, who are we, you and I, to stand in God's way? So as we leave here tonight and we walk into the week ahead, may we strive to be as obedient as Peter with this vision. Sharing the amazing news of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit and trusting in God's sovereignty and that we will not stand in his way. Even with criticism, which we all face in different circumstances in our lives, we have the opportunity to use our gifts to spread God's love in every situation that we find ourselves in. Let us remember that we cannot stand in God's way. Amen.